Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Also, just a reminder for all of our listeners and viewers out there to check out all of our resources and programs and past podcast episodes. There's over 750 of them now between Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Investing Secrets. Check out all of that at cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. Here's a teaser for you too. Our swag store is live, also at cashflowninja.com. So if you want ninja gear, caps, t-shirts, polos, and hoodies, check out our store there too at cashflowninja.com. I've got a fantastic show for you today with another fantastic guest, great guest. I'm joined by Dave Ulrich. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me. Excited for this.
Absolutely. For folks that are not familiar with you and what you do, could you please share a little bit about your background and journey with them?
You know, it's probably easier to answer that with what I don't do. I've got a lot of things I've been passionate about. I'm a professional adventurer, family man. Got four young children, live here in Utah. Started out my career with a company called Vivint, Vivint Smart Home, Vivint Solar. It was actually going out knocking doors, going door to door, selling, you know, home security systems. Probably one of the hardest ways to make a buck. And, you know, it's actually probably the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And it's such a challenging, but so many things learned from that experience. And then I've always loved real estate. And so along the way, the journey's been taking that active income and then transitioning that over into passive income, really in the pursuit of financial freedom for me and my family. Did that for 17 years, regional vice president, managed 121 sales teams across the country. And yeah, absolutely love that. Operated in 42 states and had an opportunity to lead and help develop, you know, thousands of salespeople across the country. Started investing in real estate about 15 years ago and just slowly built up a portfolio. Currently have ownership in over 1,000 rental properties across the country. And then we also recently launched a new real estate fund called the Axia Partners Fund. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that here in a bit.
Awesome. Now, one of the things that you and I had talked about, been a pleasure getting to know you, is intentionally designing your life. And that's, I think, a big lesson for all of our listeners and viewers, you know, because essentially where you are today, it's by design, whether it's intentional or unintentional, you're there because there's a plan. Maybe it's a lack of a plan, right? So maybe you could share some of your thinking on that and some of your ideas. And I know that you have a template too that you draw from, but you're a very focused guy with this. So please share your thoughts on lifestyle design and intentionally going out and getting what you want.
I would love to. So what I found is, you know, I think most people spend more time planning out their annual vacations than they do planning out their actual life, like what they really want in their life, which is pretty crazy, right? And I realized a long time ago, and I grew up in a very, you know, low income, blue collar home, didn't really have any, you know, quality of life, vacations, anything, you know, to speak of there. I just remember always wanting, you know, I committed at a young age that I was going to do whatever it took to have success. And now with that being said, my definition of success at that point was making $100,000 in a year. Like, to me, that would have been like the epitome of having made it, right? And so it's funny how things, you know, evolve and we expand our paradigm and our belief systems and our personal potential. But grew up, you know, in that environment, didn't have a lot. And, you know, when I saw an opportunity to come out and do door-to-door sales, it was really just the earning opportunity was pretty fantastic for a college kid to go out. I made $31,000 that first year. And I mean, for me, that was life changing, right? That was unreal. You know, came back the next year, made 156,000, and then, you know, over a quarter million and then a half million, and just grew it from there. But again, it was a very challenging job. You know, luckily I understood early on when it was so hard at the beginning that was a, you know, doing hard things is where we really grow the most. And I've made a commitment in my life to really be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I feel like just, you know, being willing to and embracing the fact that hard work and challenges make us better and we learn so much is really a great life skill. And even in real estate, man, like I feel like, you know, sometimes the hardest, the best deals, the best yield is actually where there's some hair on the deal. It's challenging, it's hard, right? And so a lot of times in life, you know, human nature is take the easy route, but I learned at a young age that sometimes taking the harder route is actually where the real opportunity is, whether that's the relationships built, the financial upside, the personal development. But, you know, so I'm trying to teach my kids. I've got four kids now. It's like, hey, do hard things, you know, and I think there's really something beautiful about taking intentionally pursuing hard things. You know, I feel like personal development comes when you're at the fringe of your comfort zone. And so I'm always trying to actually be a little bit uncomfortable. You know, I think one of the worst things you can do is get really, you know, comfortable because you're either growing or you're dying. That's just even in nature, like either it's growing or you're dying. And there's no such thing as just plateauing or being stagnant or, you know, just coasting. That's my personal opinion. And so, you know, when I was out working, you know, selling door to door, I'm like, hey, this is a hard job. So if I'm going to do such a hard job to make money, I want to make sure my money is working for me and I'm intentional with this. And my family, we never talked about finances. There was never a conversation, I remember, about investing or, you know, being a good monetary, you know, a steward of your money. And so it was really a personal challenge of saying, okay, I want to learn how to be great at this and how to master the game of money. And it's just been a really fun journey, man, for about 17 years now of, you know, studying and mentorship and masterminds and, you know, personal experience. But you know, going back to your question on intentionality, I'm a huge, huge fan on that. And I talk about it all the time. And about 14 years ago, I put together something called a lifestyle design. And it was a simple spreadsheet at the time. And I took the 10 categories in my life that I felt were most important that I wanted to be really good at, right? And that's my health, my time, my family, business, finances, spiritual experiences, memories, and relationships. I feel like those are 10 categories that, again, that are really important to have a balanced, significant life. You know, a lot of times we see people that are killing it in business, they're making great money, but they neglect their health or their families, right? And I just don't want to be that guy. You know, I don't want to have any regrets. When I look back in my life, when I'm 80, 90, 100 years old, I want to have no regrets. And I spent a ton of time actually thinking about, you know, the end of my life, looking back and how do I quantify a life well spent? And that'd be a challenge that I'd maybe just put out there for your listeners is, you know, instead of focus so much on the day-to-day and being so reactive to life, is be proactive. You know, spend the time, invest the time to get really, really clear on the outcomes that you want in your life. And what that does is it allows us to make smart decisions along the way. And in my opinion, where we get to in life is really just an accumulation of the decisions we made along the way. And so the more high quality, intentional decisions we can make with purpose and passion, the faster we're going to get to where we really want to be in life. And so it's just been a journey, man. And, you know, in fact, I'm even happy to share that with some of your listeners if they wanted to send me a DM on Instagram and request that. I've shared with a few of my friends, family, and I've gotten really good feedback. It's been a really fun journey because the upside is it allows me to be very bold and more aggressive in my business because I know, hey, I know who I am. I know what I'm trying to accomplish, my mission. And I know my family's being taken care of. My health's taken care of. You know, I've got those things dialed in. And so anyway, for me, it's been a real game changer. And so just want to share that with your group. But the key is intentionality and really getting clear on the end goal of what you really want in your life.
There's so much to unpack there. One of the things that you said towards the end too was the confidence. It's so true. When you have certain things in place and you have this very bold vision that you're building towards every day and you invest in the right areas and you build up equity in areas other than just financial equity, you really start to grow in confidence because you realize that you've become an asset and that eventually would result into more financial equity. You know, I just think of examples of constantly investing, you know, like for example, in your mindset, right? And then also in skill sets, your capabilities. So with the, and your relationships, you know, just between those three, you keep investing in that and that, and you start to build equity there, that life equity. I mean, all of a sudden the confidence just keeps on growing, right?
Exactly. You know, and I, you know, somebody asked me a question last week. He said, hey, Dave, what's the one decision in your life that you regret the most? And it was a really, I'm like, you know what, let me think about that for a little while. And the next day I came back and like, you know what, I thought a lot about it. And honestly, I don't have a lot of regrets, man. Like I'm really proud to be able to say I don't have knock on wood, but I don't have really a lot of those decisions that I really regret in my life. And, you know, and as a parent now, I'm like, how do I teach my kids to be able to make good decisions? You know, I've even thought about writing a book, and a topic would be like the dichotomy of decision-making. And you go back and look at the decisions in your life and not just why you made the decision, but what the outcomes were, you know, and if you hadn't made that decision, what else would have happened in your life? And it's really an intriguing.
MC Lobster, the creator of the Cashflow Ninja and Cashflow Coach at Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate infinite banking with their business and investments. To learn how you can create your own banking system to turbocharge your investments and business in 30 days or less, go to yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
And kind of a fun exercise to go back and kind of reverse, you know, retract back to those decisions. The decision tree, if you will. But with intentionality and lifestyle design, just as an example, I mean, you know, I remember when I was 30 years old, I made a list of everything I wanted in my dream home. And I made a spreadsheet and had 25 things that I wanted, right? I wanted a trampoline. I wanted, you know, a huge yard, a pool, hot tub, a fire pit. I wanted to have an indoor basketball court. I wanted to have a foam pit, you know, rock climbing wall for my kids, et cetera, et cetera. And I lost that document. And then, you know, 7 years later, we built our dream home. And then I ran into that same document about a year ago in my Dropbox. And it was fascinating to see that we were able to get 24 of the 25 things on that list. But we weren't even referencing that list when we designed the home. I planted those seeds, right? I thought through what I wanted for my family, the experiences I wanted to curate for my kids in our home. But it was a lot of intentionality there. One more example to share to illustrate this point is, you know, when I was 30 years old, I got serious about creating true financial freedom in my life. And what that means to me is I have enough reoccurring passive income to cover my family's cost of living and our discretionary spending. And so I sat down for 4 hours on a Sunday and I got really clear on, okay, what exactly is my family's cost of living today on an annual basis? You know, how much passive income do I want to create? And then how many years am I going to commit to this process? And for me, at that point in my life, it was, I need to have 40 rental properties by age 40. So I gave myself 10 years to hit this financial freedom number, you know, and I wrote it down, made a blueprint, reverse engineered it down to, you know, weekly and monthly behavior and habits to make sure I got that. I was able to hit that goal when I was 36. And then, you know, human age, we always want to go bigger from that point. And so my updated goal then was, okay, I want to own 1,000 rental properties by age 40. And to me, that was a hairy, audacious goal, which is those are the fun ones. When they get your blood moving a little bit, right? They scare you a little bit, they make you a little bit nervous, but they also stir up emotion like excitement and passion. And so I wrote that down, reverse engineered the process and committed to that. And I was able to hit that last year when I turned 40. But my point there is just, you know, it's about getting really clear on what you want, but not just clear, but it's also writing it down, because, you know, I always say that a goal that's not written down is just a dream. It's an idea.
Yep.
Right. When we write things down, we can hold ourselves accountable and we can actually track and measure our progress, which is highly motivating, right? These changes and improvements are incremental and they're very small sometimes, but if you don't have it written down, it's really hard to see the progress that we're making along the way. But, you know, on that note, last thing I'd say is, I think it's so important though, that when you design your lifestyle design and your financial freedom, it's got a lot of purpose and intentionality behind it, right? There's a purpose behind it. And the more you can tie it to with purpose and passion behind the monetary goals, then the easier it's going to be to hit those goals in a quicker manner.
Yeah. I really like that you have the 10 areas too, because I think it's so important to just to reiterate that it's not just the financial capital piece of it, the life equity and other areas really. And especially what I think over the past year, 12 months, maybe people have realized that. To build, to have a quality of life. And that depends on, you know, health, relationships, you know, all these other things, and heavily investing in those too. I mean, that's going to build equity in those areas. And the other thing that I'll mention too, is the game that you design, right? It's this game. You know, I talk about it in one of my programs that you've got to design this game worth winning. You know, the juice needs to be worth the squeeze. And you continue to create new games that you want to win. But you need to create the game first and then reverse engineer it and figure out what does winning look like, right?
And you've got to keep score along the way.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. A lot of times people set these games and they gamify the process, but then they're not checking in on the score. You know, and I, another thing I always say that, you know, and I stole from Tony Robbins, but is, you know, people overestimate what we can do in 1 year, but we underestimate what we can do in 5 years. Right. And so a lot of times we get so, you know, excited or motivated what we're going to do this year, but really it takes a little more time than that. And you've got to give it, you know, a longer time frame there. And, you know, on that same note, I do believe that, you know, motivation itself is finicky. It's just an emotion, you know, and it's important to get started, but what really matters, what makes the long-term difference, moves the needle, is discipline and habits, right? It's the habit you do on a daily basis that really drives the outcomes at where we get to in life. And so, you know, just be careful with motivation, because it's not about being motivated. Motivated is good to, like, maybe start a lifestyle design and start a financial freedom process and, you know, set some goals. But then what's really going to make the difference is the habits and the discipline.
And if you, it's not intentional, you could be very motivated and high energy and exert a lot of effort into it. But if you're running in the wrong direction, you're going to go quicker to the wrong side of the equation, right? Actually going towards your goals.
You know, one thing I want to share though, is a lot of times when I talk to, you know, close friends about this, they're like, Dave, that's really cool that you know all this, but, you know, I've tried to think about what I really want and you know, how I define it, happiness and life, and, you know, and they actually kind of like don't really know still, and which is totally, it's very normal. Right. And so this does take a lot of, you know, deep work and really getting intentional. There's a book I highly recommend. It's called How Will You Measure Your Life by Clayton Christensen. And one thing he recommends doing is actually writing down your eulogy. And so I did this one time on my iPhone, on my notes, and I wrote down my eulogy. And the idea there is, it's, you know, what do you want your friends, family, your kids, your neighbors to say about your legacy and your life? And so I did that. And then I shared with my wife without explaining why I was sending her my eulogy. I think it kind of freaked her out a little bit. She's like, why are you sending me your eulogy? You know, but it's just, you know, I'll share this like a little, you know, a little best practice if people are having a hard time getting clear on what, you know, how they would really define a successful life. So, and then one last thing, MC, is what I've found is, you know, there's a lot of ways to quantitate this and, you know, to get very technical with it. But at my core, like when I really dig deep, like, what do I, you know, why do I work so hard? And why am I, you know, chasing so many doors in real estate? Ultimately, it's freedom. Like it's having a massive amount of freedom in my life for me and my family, those I love and I care about. And it's freedom. It's not just freedom to be retired on a beach, you know, sipping on whatever you like to sip on. It's literally to be doing what you want to be doing with the people you want to be doing it with, whenever you want to be doing it, where you want to be doing it, right? And that's, to me, that's a real position of strength. And that's where I've been fighting hard in my career. And it's really fun. And now I can say, you know, everybody I do business with is because I want to do business with them. You know, I have several hundred capital partners, and 98% of them are my friends or my social network. You know, it's people that I actually care about and I want to create value for them. All my business partners are my best friends. And it's really beautiful when you can blur the line between when you're working and you're playing. You know, that's a great goal, is to get to the point where you're literally working with the people you know. And I would say, you know, who you do business with is who you do life with naturally. And just be aware of that, right? And, you know, real estate itself is not necessarily a sexy process. You know, it's just real estate. But what's fun and creates experiences are the people that, and the experiences that we create around real estate, right?
Yep. No, very well said. And that's the thing. At the core of this is freedom. And I think over the past 18 months, people have figured out that there's so much, I would say, so much goes together with this freedom, right? So I'll give you just some of an example of some of my thinking is, you know, being self-reliant and independent and free right now is, I mean, you can't really put a price on that. If you have independent sources of income coming in from many, many different areas that, like, as you said, covers your living expenses and your discretionary spending and so forth, you're definitely in a position of power. You're not going to be told what to do, when to sit, where to stand, where you can and cannot go. You're going to play life by your rules, which essentially is the goal.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the billion-dollar blueprint, followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
Especially at the time that we're living at right now, independent sources of income is huge because we're living in a time in human history where there's incrementally more things going to creep into your life that you didn't expect, regardless of where you live. So if you have independent sources of income, you have your own set of rules, and you are a free and self-reliant person, you're going to be able to live the life that you want and not that you hope to live, right?
Hey, I love that, man. And I want to just add on to that, that when we talk about, you know, building wealth and like the modern economy and some of these big changes are happening on a macro level, even on a global level, to me personally, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, but to me, it's all about cash flow. And your podcast is Cash Flow Ninja. So I know you agree with me on this, but you know, I care much more what my cash flow is than my net worth, you know, how many zeros I have or whatever else. Cash flow to me is so powerful. It's liberating. It gives you that peace of mind that you're not tapping into the golden egg. Your nest egg. It's all cash flow. It's distributions. It's dividends. And there's so much power that comes from that, man. And you know, I love real estate. I believe that commercial real estate, multifamily, is the best way to build true generational wealth. I really believe that, especially with the tax benefits and inflation and everything else. But I also invest in, you know, I love self storage. I love, you know, food and beverage that pays off really good cash flow. You know, investing in ATM funds. I do a lot of hard money loans, you know, with a really high, you know, interest rate in a first position with strong, very secure. That's one of my best performing type of investments, you know, RV parks, even cryptocurrency, but then staking that cryptocurrency to be able to create cash flow from that investment. Because otherwise cryptocurrency is more of just an equity play. It's an appreciation play, right?
Yep.
But again, I am a cash flow investor. And to get a little more specific there, one thing that I've done over the last few years is really layering those passive investments, those cash flow investments. And so, you know, every year, say you put in, you know, 3 to 5 or 12, I try to do about one a month. And so investing into somebody else's syndication, somebody else's apartment complex or JV, something that's going to create a consistent recurring cash flow stream for me. But you keep doing that, even, you know, 3 times a year, or 12 times a year, and you do that for a few years in a row, and you start getting this snowball effect where it compounds. You're getting so much cash flow coming in, okay, which is beautiful. But then you have one of these investments exit. So say it's a 5-year investment, boom, you get a big distribution back, immediately redeploy all of that into multiple new streams of income. And you keep doing that over the years and you have 100, 200 streams of income, and it really does compound. And that to me is such a beautiful thing, because then you're making these new investments and new streams of income purely based on previous, on just your distributions, right? And those returns of initial capital invested.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, the great thing about cash flow investing too, is when you focus on the cash flow and increasing the cash flow, whether it's a real estate property or whether it's a business, eventually the result is the valuation of the business or the real estate will significantly increase and will increase your net worth. But most folks are so focused just on that, where if you're focusing on the asset and trying to increase the value of the asset, it's going to result automatically in that. And of course, as you mentioned, the streams of income, and I love how you put it, because if you put it in several different investments across the board and asset classes and have a very well diversified cash flow portfolio with which reduces taxes and provides a independent, many, many different independent sources of income. Now you're in a position where if something happens on one side of the portfolio, it doesn't rock the boat on the other side. And that puts you in the position of freedom, right?
Absolutely. And on that note, I mean, I'll even show this a little more specifically. What I do with my allocation is whether you have $1,000 or $100 million invested, what I personally do, and this is for cash flow, but it's diversification, is we'll throw, you know, 1% into cash. We'll throw 3%, 2% into precious metals, 3% into blockchain cryptocurrencies. We'll put 5% into bonds, 5% into hard money loans, 10% into stocks and equities, 15% into private equity, 25% into residential real estate, and 33% into commercial real estate. And I'm pretty close to those. It's not exact, but it's an overall, you know, blueprint of where I feel like I get that diversification while still getting, and every one of those, except for the cash, creates cash flow for me. And yep. So anyway, I just want to share that with your listeners.
No, again, that's fantastic.
Like intentionality, right? Like being very intentional and calculated in your approach, because again, we work so hard for money, but why not do, you know, become a master of that to where it's working for you. Like, you know, where you're sleeping at night and you get peace of mind knowing that you're, because everything's cyclical. We will have corrections. We will for sure have some, in my opinion, some pretty serious issues coming up here, not too far in the distance. And so, you know, I don't want to try to time the markets. I don't want to try to sell my real estate strategically. I want to just know that it's a long-term cash flow focused portfolio.
So let's talk about what you're doing with your company and some of the funds that you're involved with. Maybe you could share a little bit about that and what you do.
Sure, I'd love to. So I do a lot of different things. I do executive consulting for executives in high growth sales companies. I really enjoyed that. Lately, I've been doing a lot more speaking engagements and whatnot, masterminds. But on top of that, managing my own personal investments. Recently, we launched the Axia Partners Real Estate Fund. That's what I'm most excited about currently. And it's we have about 150 investment partners in the fund. It's a $20 million equity fund, which will allow us about $70 million of assets under management. And our capital raise went very, very smoothly. We capitalized the full amount in less than 3 months. We're actually oversubscribed on that one. So we're currently full. So now it's just looking for the right assets. I want to share this with your listeners. The investment thesis that I curated is it's all about recession resilient passive income. And so again, my belief is that we're going to hit some turbulent waters. And so the question is, how do we get good asymmetrical risk? Meaning that we can protect the downside, you know, the principal invested. Like Warren Buffett says, rule number one in investing is don't lose your principal. Rule number two is don't forget rule number one, right? So, you know, how do we protect that and then still create strong margin and strong yields for our investors? And in my opinion, and my team's opinion, that's through multifamily apartments, RV parks, which are huge cash cow, and self-storage, which is the most, historically, the most recession resilient asset in all of real estate. It actually has overperformed in the last housing collapse. And so in good times or bad times, self-storage historically has done really, really well. And so those three asset types is all that we focus on and we invest in. But then to further mitigate risk, we only buy stabilized or close to stabilized assets. So no new construction, no new development. Everything we touch or we acquire is with a value add approach. So the word Axia is Greek for value add. And so we're really serious about the value add approach. And so if your listeners don't know what that means where we go into an asset that's mismanaged, it's a little bit older, hasn't had any improvements, renovations done. We come in, traditionally it's putting in countertops, new lights, new flooring, new paint, maybe, you know, amenitizing the property further. But we're a little more of a modern approach where we also work on search engine optimization, improving social media presence, branding, signage, really repositioning the asset to appeal to more millennials and kind of a younger generation. And so, yeah, and it's also the management, it's the technology. So it's really just optimizing assets to increase the net operating income, which then creates further values when we dispose of the assets. So pretty straightforward. You know, it's very much of a tax play as well. We use cost segregation, accelerated depreciation for all of our investors. But then lastly, on that value add approach, we're also, you know, not just focused on creating value monetarily, but it's also with the experience. And so the tagline for our fund is experiential investing. And so we also include all of our investors in the process. And I realize a lot of investors really want to learn, you know, it's like, instead of just, you know, giving a man a fish, it's teaching how to fish. And so we invite all of our investors to do our walkthroughs on site of our assets, to come in the office, look at our due diligence. We do a full webinar of every single asset, the underwriting model, very transparent. We even have industry experts come on every Thursday and just teach and talk about how to do real estate at the highest levels. And so that's been received very well. And, you know, it's really fun to be able to create that kind of value for our partners, not just on ROI, but also from an educational standpoint.
My friend Brian Page has created a cash flow machine generating over $100,000 in 6 months without owning any real estate. His system consists out of renting properties from property owners and renting them out on Airbnb. His system is so simplistic, it can be managed by virtual assistants and yet so effective and powerful that it predictably generates cash flow every month. Brian and I are hosting a webinar where he shares his system and how it generated over $100,000 in 6 months for him personally. You can access this life-changing webinar at cashflowninja.com/BNB. This is one of the greatest cash flow opportunities I've seen since I've started my podcast. Again, the URL is cashflowninja.com/BNB.
Yeah, that's huge. And multifamily real estate, you mentioned RV parks. Man, that industry is just exploding. I mean, when I first looked at this years ago, I was more interested, let's just say, on the mobile home park side, but the RV parks are, they're here. I mean, it's this is the time to shine. You know, you look at the boom that's been experienced over there because of, you know, the economic and political conditions. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a diamond in the rough. Mobile home parks got a lot of attention for the last 8 to 10 years, a lot of REITs, a lot of institutional money. And so it's been really hard to find great mobile home park opportunities, at least in our experience, whereas RV parks have been overlooked. And especially with COVID, people love experiential travel and they want to get out. They want to go out and experience things, have some space. And I mean, you can't buy an RV. It's a 1 year wait in most places. Most RV parks are fully subscribed or reserved for the entire year right now. And so we feel like there's a real opportunity there going forward. And it's really a land play where you own a ton of land as well. So there's a lot of security behind that. But, you know, you look at cap rates right now on multifamily, they're so compressed. I mean, you know, Vegas and Phoenix in the low threes right now. And so, but you go into these RV parks and we're looking at 8 to 12 caps right now.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. We actually looked at renting one as a family just to have some fun. It's slammed. I mean, it's hard to rent one. There's like a wait on that as well. So it's an industry that's just fascinating. And there's some really nice high-end RVs too. For listeners and viewers, that this is your first time hearing about this, you know, this is not Cousin Eddie driving across town and, you know, dumping toxic waste in front of someone's house. There's some really nice RVs. That really, as you mentioned, you know, folks are looking for different experiences now that it's tough to travel and get on a plane. And just at the time of recording, you know, one of the headlines was all of these flights getting canceled. It's hard just to catch a flight these days. You know, imagine you're a big family traveling somewhere. I think it was like, you know, 1,500 flights that was just canceled by the one carrier. You know, so it's, you know, jump in an RV and take control of your own traveling time and have some fun in the process.
Love it, man. 100%. And that's fun thing in real estate though, is it's always evolving. Right. And so the key is really just staying up to date on it, you know, and there's a lot of old school kind of outdated philosophies and approaches. But the one thing I do love about this is, you know, there's always a bleeding edge. There's always, you know, that the latest and greatest, and it's keeping up with macroeconomics and, you know, I'm obviously very passionate about real estate, but I'm really grateful to have understood the power of that early on in my career. I remember I asked my CPA when I was 23, and I said, "Hey, you know, what are all of your wealthy clients doing that I'm not doing?" And he said, "Every one of his wealthy clients own real estate or businesses or both." And I clicked. And I go, "You know what? Okay, that makes sense. If that's what they're doing, and it saves me taxes. I don't like paying tax. Cool, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's jump into real estate." And it's been really fun now to be able to, you know, create value for hundreds of my friends and people I really care about, and help them to start building a passive income portfolios and really work towards that financial freedom. You know, I think that's such a beautiful thing when people can have freedom to be able to live life the way they want to on their own terms, you know, to be behind the steering wheel and to be able to actually have control. You know, it's sad, man, to see how many people live life day to day just based on how they're going to get their bills paid, right? That's just not a fun way to live life. I mean, it eats away at our our free agency and our freedom, right? And so I think it's a really powerful thing, and it's good for, you know, it's even good for our society and for our nation to have more, you know, individual freedom. And I think real estate's a great way to go.
Absolutely. Own the business, own the keys, and be the bank.
There you go.
One habit I've observed from wealthy and successful individuals is that they're always studying new things and learning new things. What are you currently studying?
So that's I'm glad you asked that question. I'm big on personal development. You know, I spend six figures a year on personal development, coaching, real estate strategists, et cetera. I think that that's the best investment you can possibly make. I mean, the 6 inches of real estate between your ears, that is the most valuable real estate. So anything you can do to improve that real estate, it's the best ROI you will get on your money. I really believe that. And I mean, that's the fun thing in life is really the pursuit of the best version of yourself. You know, when I was 20, I was proud of what I was doing. And when I was 30, I was really proud of what I was doing. And I'm 40, I'm really proud of what I'm doing. But when I look back at being 30, I was like, man, I was playing small. And when I was 30, I look back at 20, I'm like, dude, I was playing so small. You know, I hope that when I'm 50, I look back at being 40 and say, hey, Dave, you could have been doing so much more. Like, you were thinking small. And I hope when I'm 100, I look back at being 90 and be like, Dave, you could have been doing more. You know, I think that really is the beauty that, you know, I'm the happiest in my life. Like right now, I'm working harder than I've ever worked in my life, even though I don't need to be doing any of this really, right? But it's the continual pursuit of forward progress and finding the best version of yourself. And to me, I'm actually the happiest when I feel like I'm making forward progress. And some people hear that, I'm like, Dave, that's crazy, man. I just want to be like, I want to retire. To me, the idea of retiring is the worst idea ever. I love talking to business people. I love jumping on podcasts with you talking about our wins and what we're working on, right? Like to me, I get so much energy from the process of building, and there's just real energy that comes from this. And so, but what am I doing? I'd say two things. One is a power hour. So every morning from 6 to 8 o'clock, it's 2 hours. Very systematic, you know, working out, cold shower, reading 20 minutes, you know, power planning for the day, journaling, et cetera. So 2 hours, I'm happy to share that with your viewers as well. It's all outlined in a template. And then secondly, would just be a commitment to never listening to music. I love music. Whenever time I'm driving, I'm in the gym, it's always a podcast or an audiobook. And I mean, that's free time that doesn't take away from my productivity. And I'm able to knock out, you know, at least a book every 2 weeks. So that's, you know, 20 something books every year. That's a great way to continue to learn.
Yep. Awesome stuff. Now, core message in our show is to leave our families, communities, and the world better than we found it by passing down a mindset, values, and principles to future generations, not just money. So if you cannot pass on any money to future generations and we're only allowed to pass on 3 principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
All right, let's go. So first off, what comes to mind is my all-time favorite quote from Zig Ziglar that says, you can have everything you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And I've tried to model that in my career, both personally and professionally. And there's something special about just trying to create value for other people. It always comes full circle, call it karma, call it whatever you want to, but usually comes back twofold. You know, I believe that the more you give, the more you get. It's a simple concept. You know, it's almost being selfish sometimes, because when you do give, it feels so good. It's almost like you're the greatest recipient in the transaction. And so, you know, just really looking to give and create value for other people. The second thing I would say is, you know, I want to make sure I leave with my family the values and principles of what it means to be an Allred. You know, what my core values are and what my belief system is. And so, as an example, we created the Allred Family 10 Guiding Principles last year, and it's just 10 simple concepts, principles, and we have that posted in every one of our kids' bedrooms, as well as in the pantry and the kitchen. So we see it daily, and we talk about it a ton. And even as a parent, I just got to say, it makes parenting so much easier, because instead of being like the punisher, the person that's like got to get after the kids, it's, hey, son, you know, what's our guiding principle number 4? Allreds don't quit. Okay, so why are you talking about quitting? Or, you know, one of them is embrace delayed gratification. And that's really important for kids nowadays, you know, but it actually makes parenting and just how you run your family unit, as well as your businesses, that much easier. Also, we created the Allred Foundation, which is a charitable, you know, foundation. And each of my kids are on the board of directors. And so they each got to choose their own charity to support. Super fun concept, man. My kids are, you know, age six through 15, but they each have their own charity. You know, my son wanted to help the Wounded Warrior Project. My daughter wanted to help Operation Underground Railroad, you know, sex trafficking. My other daughter wants to help single mothers. My other daughter, my youngest, loves hippopotamuses. So she found a hippopotamus foundation. And so we donate money to that every year, right? And so, but it's just teaching the kids to, so I guess to summarize, number two is, you know, I think the most important thing I can pass on to my kids and my family is not my net worth or my, you know, understanding of economics. It's definitely their belief system, their core values, and the impact they will have on in their lives in this world. And then lastly, number three, you know, I just want to make sure that they understand the importance of having a growth mindset. There's two types of mindsets. There's a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. You know, most people unfortunately have more of a fixed mindset, meaning I am where I am. It is what it is. It's a matter of circumstances. It's my parents' fault. It's where I live. It's my skin color. It's whatever. It's almost a victim mentality. I don't want to be negative about it, but it is what it is. And frankly, it's easier because then you have an excuse to justify maybe where you are. But I feel like what's really helped me in my life is realizing that, you know, life happens for me, not to me. And I have full control over where I end up my life. My decisions dictate my future. And so having that growth mindset is so empowering because then you become a lifelong student and you just want to learn. You want to absorb knowledge and pursue that best version of yourself. So I'd say, you know, number one is help other people and create value for the people. Number two is, you know, get clear on your core values and, you know, giving back to our foundation. Number three is having a growth mindset.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Dave, where can my audience learn more about you, what you do, and stay in touch with you and stay informed of all the projects that you're involved with?
I'm pretty active on all the social media outlets. I'd say Instagram is definitely most active. So just give me a follow, Dave Allred. If you'd like to interact or have any questions for me, if I can help you with anything, just send me a DM. Again, Dave Allred. It's Allred, A-L-L-R-E-D.
Awesome. Awesome stuff, Dave. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your journey and your knowledge and providing so much value for all of my listeners. Appreciate you coming on.
Loved it, man. Love to do another one sometime. I feel like we were just getting warmed up here.
Absolutely. And thank you to all of our listeners for spending your most valuable resource, your time. Once again, with me on the show, check out all of our past episodes, resources, and programs, cashflowninja.com. That's cashflowninja.com. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.